Well, let's check in now on the race for governor in the state of Alaska, because it was a three-way race until October 19th, just weeks before Election Day, when Governor Bill Walker, an independent, said this at the Alaska Federation of Natives.
Effective today, I am suspending my campaign for the re-election as governor. In the time remaining, it has become clear we cannot win a three-way race.
Well, Walker then threw his support behind the Democratic candidate, former U.S. Senator Mark Begich, who was trailing in the polls behind the Republican, former state Senator Mark Dunleavy. And now that race has tightened. Politico writes that Republicans' surest chance to pick up a governorship on Tuesday has suddenly turned into the weirdest, least predictable campaign in the country. Andrew Kitchenman is a state government and politics reporter at KTOO and Alaska Public Media. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Robin.
So if you're going to have a weird race, let it be the weirdest. And this sounds like it. And just take us back a second, because the sitting governor, Bill Walker's running mate, who was his lieutenant governor, Byron Mallott, stepped down a week before the governor made his announcement that he wouldn't be running. And Mallott resigned over an inappropriate comment to an unnamed woman. Did that have anything to do with why Governor Walker stepped down, or was it simply because, as he said, he felt he couldn't win in a three-way race and he wanted to throw his support behind the Democrat?
He really stopped because of the Mallott issue. Both he and Begich all along have wanted one or the other. They both have wanted the other to drop out. They're pretty similar on the issues. There are some differences on social issues, but Walker has really downplayed social issues as governor and is really focused on economic and non-social issues. So in practical terms, there wasn't a lot of difference between the two of them, and they were pretty evenly splitting the non-Republican vote.
Yeah, but then when Mallott made that comment, it seemed to be the time to make an exit. Look, just after Walker left the race, an Alaska Survey Research poll had Dunleavy, the Republican, up only 4 points. He'd been higher. So talk about how this race has changed.
Yeah. So a challenge for Begich is that Walker's name is still on the ballot. Even though he suspended his campaign, it happened after the withdrawal deadline. And there isn't a lot of precedence for having an incumbent governor's name on the ballot and them not campaigning. So as you could imagine, if he gets 5%, if he gets 10%, that's largely going to be votes coming out of Begich's likely voters. And he may get those votes just because people either aren't informed about the latest news, or they really like Walker and they don't like the other two names on the ballot.
Yeah. Well, so that again, that's what makes this so weird, is that Begich still could look really good in the polls, but we'll have to wait till we get out the other side on November 6th to see what people actually did. And let's talk about the candidates. Walker, again, who's no longer in the race, he cited protecting Medicaid when he dropped out. Dunleavy has opposed the Medicaid expansion that Walker created in 2015. In a debate last week, Dunleavy talked about Medicaid and management issues. Let's listen to a little.
We need to manage our government better. We have Medicaid overture spending. We have a whole host of issues in terms of management issues in our government.
What does Dunleavy mean when he talks about managing our government better?
He hasn't been very clear on what that would mean in terms of the actual state budget. There is concerns among public employee labor unions that he may be basically aiming to take on unions as far as reducing compensation or reducing public employee benefits. But it doesn't look like voters are going to have a clear idea about what direction Dunleavy's going to take the state when he talks about management.
And what about the Democratic candidate, Begich? He's talked about possible revenue packages, which could include a tax. And this would be new for Alaska, the only state without either an income or a sales tax. Begich has also talked about the Alaska Permanent Funds Dividend, PFD. These are the payments that come from the oil industry that every Alaskan receives. Here's part of one of Begich's ads.
We can't wait 4 more years for leadership, much less go backwards. Guaranteeing school funding and the PFD in the state constitution is the right place to begin.
Is the implication there that Dunleavy isn't guaranteeing the PFD, this payment?
Well, possibly. Dunleavy's actually proposing a higher PFD payment than Begich, but Begich wants to put it in the state constitution. This was a check that everyone received up until 3 years ago, and it's a large check. Begich is looking for about a $2,000 PFD. Dunleavy's talking about about roughly $3,000 PFD. Neither has been really clear about how they're going to pay for it. And the fear is that they're just going to draw down the state's large savings, all that oil wealth. Some of it's protected by the state constitution, but some of it isn't. And the more of that money spent, the could have really rough implications for this state's future.
That's Andrew Kitchenman, state government and politics reporter at KTOO and Alaska Public Media, on again what some people are calling the weirdest and least predictable campaign in the country going into the midterms, the governor's race there in Alaska. Andrew, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.